So this is the mistake the Mayavadis say, and the Mayavadis make, and Prabhupada translated, he once explained Mayavadi as one who sticks to Maya, and you can see it so clearly. They stick to Maya in their understanding of what is God. You see, God cannot have form. And that's simply because of verse Maharaj quoted the other day, Vita Ragavaya Krodha Manmaya Mamu Pashita. So, Vita Raga, Raga means attachment. They previously had become very attached to material form, and Bhaya, that resulted in fear. They got their fingers burned, you see, by trying to enjoy the material form. They had a terrible experience, so Bhaya, and now they want to break free, just break out, you see. And this is Krodha. This is why the Mayavadis, generally when you see them, they're wearing the Shaiva tilak. The followers of Shankaracharya, I've never seen one with Vaishnava tilak. They all have Shaiva tilak. So Lord Shiva is the principle of Tamoguna, Krodha, anger, he's the destroyer. So they want, you know, they pray to Lord Shiva, please destroy all obstacles in front of me. And then their aim is Shivoham, to become Shiva, Paramashiva. They think that is God. Just by his own force, you see, can break out, can destroy the material world. That's why they like him. Yes, this Maya must be destroyed, annihilated. Zap! Gone in a big flash. Then I merge into his impersonal effulgence, his impersonal. Because ultimately for them, Shiva is light or void. When Prabhupada was asked by an academician, he was asking about some sect he saw where they were worshipping the form of Lord Shiva and chanting his bhajan and so on and so forth. And so from his uninitiated, you know, external vision, he didn't see any difference between those Shaivites and the Vaishnavas. He had toured through India by himself, you know, not being conducted by a devotee. Simply follow his inductive or experiential process of knowledge. And so he saw the Vaishnavas chanting and dancing and glorifying the deity of Lord Krishna, and he saw some Shaivites doing the same for Lord Shiva. So then he proposed to Srila Prabhupada that these Shaivites must also be personless. And Prabhupada said, no, they're impersonless. And he couldn't get the point. And Prabhupada kept bringing it home forcefully. And it is a fact in their philosophy. They worship Lord Shiva to an end, and that end is to become Shiva. Therefore, their favorite mantra is Shivoham. I am Shiva. And that Shiva is impersonal, void. They say his essence is nothingness, no form. Which means the absence of all form. You see, the absence of material form that caused them so much trouble before. So that's Mayavad philosophy. So before Kumaras were not that, they were Brahmavadis, but Prabhupada's point was always, unless one rises above impersonalism, then one is going to ultimately go down the same drain. You see? Ultimately, one is going to become, because it is a kind of addiction, actually. It is, this impersonal realization is very addictive. There is a very clear equation between that and certain drug experiences, you know, addictive drug experiences. There's one author, William S. Burroughs, very fashionable when I was a kid, and he used to write about his heroin experiences, and they were all in terms of, you know, bizarre ideas of God realization, sticking a needle in your arm, and the world would melt away, and there would just only be this vague haze, and you feel real good, and you're just floating around in this haze, and this is divine, and you know. And he would compare all the drug addicts to, you know, to saintly persons. Completely colluded. But there's definitely a parallel, you see. So anything, you see, anything Maya Prabhupada says, that is the real addiction. And the Brahman, the impersonal Brahman realization, Prabhupada always said is the last snare of Maya. That means it is Maya in its most potent form. So it is something that one can validly pass through, like we see in Isa Upanishad, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyashapihitam Mukam. The devotee is seeing the effulgent golden rays that cover the Lord, but what is his prayer? Please remove them so that I can see your mukha. Mukha means face. Completely personal. He knows that beyond this impersonal appearance, there is the smiling face of the Lord. So he's praying, please be kind to me and remove this glaring effulgence. So this is also the prayer of Lord Brahma. You'll see yourself in the 9th chapter. So we want to continue, but I just wanted to mention that it's kind of a jump ahead to chapter 9. If you want, you can look ahead, or maybe you shouldn't because you might become frightened. Because chapter 9 is easily the biggest chapter of them all, because we leave, as they say, no stone unturned. Anyway, we can prove this point. We do it again and again and again and again and again. So, then 22, that the Supreme Personality of God is the original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is also confirmed by these words, Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 13, 10, that the Supreme Personality of God, it was to Brahma that the Supreme Personality of God had first revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam in full. At that time, Brahma, frightened by material existence, was sitting on a lotus flower that had grown from the Lord's navel. The same verse 42 is discussed in Paramatma Sandarbha Anuchedya 1, beginning with paragraph 6. Compare this with section 6.3 of the study guide. I'll not do that here. You can do that on your own, that comparison. So point 6. Here someone may ask, how does the illusory energy Maya create? Maya arachitasya, the material mind, manasa. The answer is given in the word jivasya, which means by making the individual soul think, the external material body is his true identity. Then someone may ask, what happens then? The answer is that the soul then engages in impure material activities that have no relation to the Supreme Personality of God. Then someone may ask, what are these material activities, vibhuti, like? The answer is given in the word nitya, which means they have been existing from time immemorial. Then someone may ask, when are these material activities manifested? The answer is given that they are manifest in the waking state and in the dream state, but during deep sleep, unconsciousness, or trance, they disappear. Trohitachcha. So someone may quibble, well, there's a contradiction here. Because the question is, what are these material activities like? The answer is given in the word nitya, which we know means eternal, which is translated, they have been existing from time immemorial. And then the next question is, when are these material activities manifest? And the answer is given they are manifest in the waking state and in the dream state, but during deep sleep or trance, they disappear. Trohitachcha. So is that contradictory? Yes, Mataji. Yes, exactly. That was the reason I put this. Mars must have told me he went through it. I think he did, didn't he? There was this long note I made. Yeah. Back in the Shlokanusharnam. So I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But this is very, very... well, interesting is one word. But actually it is very... essential that we understand this. Because one of the points made here... All right, I'll read this part. It's a short part. Oh yes, this is on page, on my copy, 115, at the top. Hence, even the impersonal feature of the Absolute is not without form. Srila Prabhupada remarks, he is never a formless void, earlier in the same purport. The Virat Purusha is the impersonal feature of Godhead. You see, it's the Virat, it's the universal form that is the Lord's impersonal feature. We have to drill that into our heads. Prabhupada gave the example, if I speak on a tape recorder, then my energy goes on the tape. So that is my voice, what I have said is there, but it is not me. You see? Because you can't ask questions. You know, you can play a tape of Srila Prabhupada's lecture, but at the end, many of these lectures have questions. Well, you can't raise your hand and be called upon by the tape recorder, yes, and then ask her a question and get an answer. Because the tape is an impersonal representation of Srila Prabhupada. But it represents him in his personal form. The impersonality is simply that it only goes so far. It's like our shadow is an impersonal reflection, or what we see in the mirror is an because the person is not there. But that doesn't mean it's formless. This again is the Mayavadi Mudha mistake. So Prabhupada says, he is never a formless void, earlier in the same purport. The Virat Purusha is the impersonal feature of Godhead in Vyakta, or material manifestation. Its abhyakta, unmanifest state, which the Mayavadis wrongly conclude is the original transcendental Brahman, is simply the same Virat in potential. Then I give an example. Since a cloud in the sky is no less than a visible body of fine water droplets suspended in the atmosphere, how can a cloud be anything else than the potential for rain? You see? You can say, but it's not raining. But the potential is there. That's the point. Because what is a cloud? It's just a fine mist of water. So the mist coagulates in some way. It takes on an electrical charge. This is all... Yeah, I'm giving a pseudo-scientific explanation, actually. Lord's energies are doing this. And then there's... just like it says in creation, you know, in the process of creation. What happens first? There's sound and ether. You hear blowing, you might hear rumbling sound in ether. And then what's the next thing? You feel the wind. You see? That's the next thing. The sense of touch. Sparsha. And then form, in the form of tejas or fire. And then water down on your head. And then as you're running, earth in the form of mud that gets you hung up halfway across the field and you fall on your face. And when you finally make it, you look like the mud man from the swamp. The incredible mud creature from the dark swamp. Those old stupid horror movies. So, that is potential. You see? Potential means that the transcendental potency evident in his reflected feature within universal knowledge. This is Prabhupada's own language. You see? The universal form is his reflected feature, just like, the tape recorder example. It's reflection. An abhas. Within universal knowledge, just like Prabhupada's voice within a tape machine. So the whole universe is a great machine. Prabhupada said Prakriti, it can also be translated as machine. So Sri Krishna's transcendental form is reflected in terms of that machinery. So it remains a reality, whether or not it's perceived by our mundane senses during the night of Brahma, when the outward features of the Virat are withdrawn into the stem of the Garbhoduct lotus, or after Brahma's death in the period of Mahapralaya, dissolution of all the universes into the body of Mahavishnu. That potency is conserved by the Lord. It is hidden, never destroyed, and remanifest in due course. The Virat's continued existence cannot be reduced to zero by mental speculation. So there is a gaping difference between Vaishnava philosophy and Mayavad philosophy or impersonalism on this point. You see? And if anything, I want to drill this into your heads. Even the so-called impersonal form of the Lord is not without, the impersonal feature of the Lord. Let's use the right language, correct? Concise language, accurate. The impersonal feature of the Lord that is not formless at any time. It is not, as per this question that was raised here, that, but in time, in the svapna, the deep sleep, then material activities they're just zero, they're not there. No, they're there. That's why Brahma, the next morning, we talk about Brahma Muhurta. That was explained, I don't know if you caught it. Because Brahma has to get up early. That's why it's called Brahma Muhurta. He has to get up still in his night. He has to sit down in meditation. And he is the only one among the demigods who can access by meditation the heart of Garbhodakshay Vishnu and see within his heart the subtle form of the whole universe and the subtle karmas of all the living entities which are in suspension. They're in their pragya, which pragya designation that is equivalent to deep sleep, sushupti. Mahavishnu is identified with pragya, and Prabhupada calls this in one of his translations the causal designation, otherwise known as the karana deha. So that is before the activity of the modes of nature. See, when the modes of nature begin to act, they begin to act on the subtle platform, the mental platform. Thinking, feeling, willing. That means you're already conscious. You see? You think of something, so that's the mode of goodness. You're able to, for example, visualize the world. The senses are working. So you're able to visualize the world. This enters our mind as as a simple thought, actually. This is a great problem of Western philosophy. They don't know where the external world ends and the mind begins. Most of Western philosophy is just splitting hairs over this one point, you know. They just, like dogs chasing their tails around. Well, we as Vaishnavas, we admit that mind is fundamental to creation. You cannot have a creation without mind. So the mind must be there. So then the form of this world enters the mind through the senses, and its first registry within our consciousness is as a thought. Now you can let that thought go if you're actually detached. See, as a devotee is detached, or should be a detached, a pure devotee. Because whatever he sees in terms of Krishna owns this, this is Krishna's property, this is meant only for Krishna's service. I'm just a visitor here, I can't make any claim, but I can use this in the Lord's service. You see? So it never goes beyond thought. You see? Then there's the next stage of feeling. Now the devotee, he feels, but his feeling is for Krishna. Because he takes flowers and fruits and leaves and so on and makes a heartfelt offering of these things, which to him are no more than ideas, just passing images. But he makes a heartfelt offering of them to the Lord. And that is also the expression of his will in concordance with the will of the Lord. So he gets no karma. But karma for us starts when we start feeling materially. That means the form of the world passes over into material attraction. I like it. Looks nice. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the mind becomes attached. And as the mind becomes attached, then lust increases. And Prabhupada also says one of the byproducts of this lust is many different kinds of mental speculation. How can I enjoy this? How can I, you know? Just like when a man sees a, you know, I mean, in the modern context where they have all this club life, so a man sees a young girl from, you know, a young woman from across the hall, he immediately starts to think, you know, he sees, mind becomes attached and all kinds of speculations. So what can I do? What will be my line? You know, he takes out his little black book of opening lines. Here's one. You should come and see my tomato garden. Okay. So he walks over and says, "Hey, you should come and see my tomato garden." And she says, "Get out of here, you fruit." So anyway, this is what happens when we become attached, you see, then we feel the emotions, take these thoughts as their objects. And we become more and more and more just attached to them, and we want to enjoy them, and we make plans to enjoy them, and we can't think of anything else, we can't shake our minds free of them. And then that will lead to willing. I have to do something about this, you see. And that is, so you see, you can see how it progresses. Sattva, rajas, we've already told you that rajas is what? Equivalent to what? Svapna, dreaming. And dreaming is the same thing. Dream is thoughts plus feelings. That's what a dream is. And then will is tamoguna, the exertion of my ownership, my doing, my possession. So, this is the great science of Bhagavat Tattva. Alright, looks like I didn't get very far. Bottom of page 121, according to my point number 7. So you remember to tell that to Maharaj on Thursday. Point number 7 at the bottom of page 121. The Supreme Personality of God is the creator of the waking state, is explaining these words, etc. Alright, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maharaj will see you on Thursday, and carry this. Actually, we have a short semester. It will not carry over into May, because as far as I know, Sringa Chaturdasi this year is May 1st. So the end of this month will be the end of the semester. So Maharaj will carry you as long as he can. Actually, that's also a nice thing. If there's only one teacher, you'll go faster. I notice that when there's two of us, then we tend to slow things down. You may like all the comments, but we don't go through these study guides nearly fast enough. And I will be day and night in my little underground bomb shelter typing away. Hare Krishna. Thank you.